Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Imhotep, 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 Imhotep. To be honest with you, you know, maybe I'm on Imhotep's team. Like,
Here we go again. Always siding with the villain, Sarah.
Well, what else? Somebody with a pulse needs to support Imhotep.
I would be on Imhotep's side if he worked on his skincare routine, okay? Because there were gaping holes. Yeah, a little dry, a little crusty.
It's the desert. How do you expect him to get any moisture in his skin?
Lotion!
There is no lotion.
Yeah.
We're here. We're talking about Imhotep. I mean, the mummy.
Yeah, we're talking about 1999's movie, The Mummy. With Brendan Fraser. And honestly, there's not going to be a ton of people that get this crossover, but there is something very satisfying about the person coming onto this podcast to talk about this film also being the person that covered the episode of Doctor Who where a little British person said, "Are you my mummy?" just over and over and over. Of course, the one and only, Melissa. Melissa, how are you?
Hi, I'm here. I have not made that connection at all, but yeah, it's great. The mummy. Are you my mummy? It's creepy. Also, a surprisingly horror-filled episode, which is very much a reflection on this movie that I apologize. I did not remember it being quite... Well, no, I did know, but it was... To me, it's always like an action movie that happens to have horror elements, but I was like, this movie might be really scary for these two.
It's actually very scary. And the thing is I generally like, I don't know. I don't Google the movies before we watch them because one, spoilers, like I don't want to know anything. I want to go in like completely blind to most things. But yeah, in my opinion, I knew of the movie, The Mummy. I'd never seen it. But in my head, it was like you said, an action adventure comedy. That's what I was thinking I was getting into. And then it got really scary. I was like, okay. And I'm not even someone who's like generally terrified of bugs at all. Like they don't really bother me. I'm not afraid of spiders, nothing like that. However, I'm very afraid of, which I guess I just realized with this movie, Sarah, bugs underneath my skin is like a thing. And there was so much of it in this movie. There was so much of it.
Yeah. So I have seen The Mummy before. One of my friends in high school really liked The Mummy. And I feel like we saw it a lot. I don't know if it's my friend Chrissy, but we saw The Mummy a lot. Like we used to watch it. And I mean, like, I remember then, and then also in addition to that, we had gone to Florida. And in Florida at Universal Studios, there's the Revenge of the Mummy ride, which I definitely remember going on with her. So I have seen the Mummy. And as soon as I saw that goddamn scarab, I was like, I don't fuck with that thing. I was like, I remembered it. And I was like, I remembered seeing it. And I was like, I don't like those scarabs. I don't like them at all. And I still don't fuck with them. And I don't like them. And I don't trust them. And it's probably the worst part. No, it's, I mean, it's all very scary. This movie loves jump scares.
Yeah. I was not exactly prepared for that either. But Melissa, tell us why. Because this was a movie that you picked. You brought up to us. It's like, have you guys covered this? Have you seen it? We should watch it. Why is it that you picked this movie of all the movies in the land to watch?
Yeah, fair enough. There were, so we were going through ideas, and I watched this movie fairly recently. Like last year, I was away with friends and we were just staying at a place and we had an afternoon. And so someone put on The Mummy, and I was, and it was just like all of us who were born of a time were like, yeah, this movie. And so that was why I just, I thought it was an important one. I couldn't tell you how many times I've seen this movie. My brother and I watched it a lot growing up. And especially like the sequels as well. If any of you are familiar with like The Scorpion King with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, none of them come out in the 90s. So, you know, you're safe from all future Mummy movies. But the first one is such a classic of its time. I don't know. It also, like, to me, spawned this whole like Egyptian obsession era, like in children of the time that it came out. Also, it saved Universal Studios, by the way. I was like reading up on this movie.
I read about that, about the ride that like people were waiting in like for in line for hours to go on.
So has anybody else been on the ride in Universal Studios? No.
I don't think so. I don't know that I went to Universal when they had the Mummy ride.
It's actually, it's a really good ride. And I remember, I mean, so number one, it is, so you go in, it's a huge building, and it's one of those things where, like, the majority of the line is inside, save for the fact that, like, probably when it first opened, it was, like, a line out the door, like, down the park, but, like, the majority of the wait is inside, and the interior is, like, all decorated Egyptian. It's really, really cool, but the best part is that it's air conditioning. So if you're going to be waiting in line for an hour and a half plus, the place to do it is the Mummy ride. And the Mummy ride itself is it's very good. You're like chased by mummies. I'm sure there's a fucking scarab or two, but very, very good. Very good ride. And I'm not surprised that it saved the park, because it was definitely a good ride in Universal that I feel like anybody who's like either a thrill seeker or likes the movie would like. And it was probably like ahead of its time, like really cool, like a really like advanced ride in terms of like effects and whatnot, because they have like the blowy smoke and the, you know. And I, you said something really interesting, Melissa, and I don't know if this is something of our generation or if like kids are still learning about Egypt, but like I feel like when we were in school, there was like such like a deep like fascination and lore and like excitement around learning about Egyptian history, as well as like, I mean, to a lesser extent, there was like Greek and Roman, but I remember just being like so fascinated about the pyramids and like mummies and like the whole culture and like curses put upon like everything. Like it was, and I, like I said, like I don't know if like kids now are getting that sort of like exposure in school. Maybe they are, but I remember like you and me, like I don't know, Jess, like you're a couple years younger than us, but like that was like the thing that they taught us in school.
Like vaguely, I feel like maybe yes. I probably wasn't necessarily the person though. Like I generally I've struggled with history a lot of my life, and so it's never been something that I'm like actively seeking out.
Wait, even for like me, somebody that hates history, like that was interesting.
Yeah, I think, and I don't know if this is a generational thing or just an everybody thing. I remember being way more intrigued by the Holocaust and like World War II versus what? Like Egyptian history. Like I'm talking about history subjects. Like that was the thing that I wanted to know more about, and I think was because of Anne Frank's diary. Like I was like loved Anne Frank's diary.
That's so really interesting. I think like maybe that's the overexposure of learning about World War II both in Hebrew school and in regular school, and I'm like enough with this. Like
yeah, oh yeah, sure. And I'm also sure it's like very different for you being Jewish too.
Well, like, yeah, I mean honestly, now that you say that, I remember like just being like one of three Jewish kids in my grade. Like I really did not like talking to about the Holocaust or like learning about the Holocaust, because then like 30 other like Italian Catholic kids would like turn around and look at me and be like,
oh my God. Yeah.
Like, what do you think about this? I'm like, no, I don't want to talk about this. But yeah, like I definitely like understand the hype. And if Melissa, have you ever been to the Met at in New York?
No, I've like walked by it, but I've never been inside.
You should go because the Egyptian exhibit is phenomenal. Cool. And they have like a structure in there with hieroglyphics, and it's very extensive. Jess, have you been to the Met? You're not cultured, so I didn't ask you.
No, I have not been to the Met. Yes, I'm not cultured. It's fine. I went to Washington, D.C. I went to a few museums, but the fun ones. I went to the Natural History Museum because dinosaurs.
That was also when I was in New York. We basically had one museum day and we were like, which one do we want to go to? And we chose the Natural History Museum.
So of that's course why you I was did.
Like, which one
Any
did we end up going
person
to?
Would.
Yeah. I have gone to a museum in London, though, that had a big Egyptian and probably like a lot of stolen shit, if you know, if it's this is the other thing.
I mean, quite honestly,
100% well, they're definitely casting very white people as Egyptians, which is not great. Movies of this time have certainly aged worse, but it's got very colonial vibes throughout
the will say, like, certainly, Sarah, you and I can kind of speak to, like, how 90s movies age generally. And this doesn't feel like the worst offender of the movies we've watched. Like, there are certain things, a lot of non-consensual kissing that's happening in this movie that doesn't age well. And then certainly, like, the casting is questionable. But speaking of the cast, something that is kind of wild that we've gone, what, 3-4 years without talking about this man much, Brendan Fraser. Like, he was big in the 90s. And the fact that we haven't really covered, I don't think we've covered a movie he's in.
We have.
We have. What did we cover that was he was in?
He played the Vietnam vet in Now and Then.
Oh, you're right. Okay. Yes, we did. Okay. I mean, he very small role in that.
But yeah, that was really, he wasn't even credited. Like that was more a cameo. But no, we haven't.
But this is his time to shine. Like this is the moment where he's like already at, like, I think he's probably peak here because George of the Jungle was what, like 2 years prior to this. Mm-hmm. And that really skyrocketed him. And like, this is so weird, Melissa. Like, Is Brendan Fraser like a heartthrob in the 90s? Like, is he?
Yes.
I can't tell. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Hold on. What? Yes.
I can't tell if we're meant to be like, he's sexy. In this movie, certainly. He's supposed to be like the sexy guy.
Yeah. So it's funny. This role was like, they were originally wanting to get like Tom Cruise or something in this. Mm-hmm. But then they liked, a bunch of people turned this movie down because they're idiots. When we get to talking about the actual filming of this movie, maybe they weren't so much. But yeah, they basically, Brendan Fraser was like big off of George of the Jungle. And so he put it that he was like particularly good to like, you know, he was a name in a very short window of time that he was like getting sought after for roles like this. And he was like able to walk that line between like kind of that funny, roguish, like adventurer, charismatic vibe that they needed. So yeah. Yeah, let's just, okay, we need to talk about this. There's a cultural like influence of this movie. Like the, I think the longstanding commentary about this movie is that it is many, many, many people's bisexual awakening because they find themselves crushing on both Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz. And it's just like, yeah, there's a lot of memes on the internet about like photos of these two and being like, yeah, this was the moment basically where I was like, oh, this is a confusing thing for me. It's like, yeah, like basically the sexy librarian and the like adventurer dude, they're both so beautiful.
Oh, that's what, so we had like Gia said that on our Twitter when we had posted about it. And I was like, I wasn't getting the reference, but that totally makes sense. And it did cross my mind at one point. And it's like, oh, both of these people are very attractive. Tell me why I thought that this was Catherine Zeta-Jones throughout the entire movie. I don't know. I had it in my head that she was Catherine Zeta-Jones. I don't know why.
No.
No.
God. Yeah, like certainly the minute that you meet her, it's like, oh, she's gonna, you know, it's very much tale as old as time for the 90s of like, oh my God, she took off her glasses and she's sexy, you know?
I think she's sexy with the glasses too, but yeah.
No, but that is like, yeah, the she's all that mentality. And yeah, like Brendan Fraser, I think he has like the signature 90s floppy hair. Like he has a lot going for him in this film. And obviously they're going to connect. We really could have like killed her brother character off though. Like he annoyed me.
He was the best part.
He was so annoying the entire time.
What are you talking about?
I wanted him to go away the entire time.
No, he was, yeah. I mean, I thought that Jonathan was like the funny guy. Like I liked him. He was. Was he the one that said, like, I didn't like bugs? No.
Probably. A lot of people might say that in this
movie. I was going to say, I think a lot of people would not like bugs when they're trying to crawl.
Why would you ditch his brother? He was the comedic relief.
I think he plays a good role. My thing in this movie is, in retrospect, watching it, it's very light on plot. The easiest thing to follow. And then
I thought it was just
a lot of characters in this movie.
Melissa, I'm sitting here and I'm watching this movie.
It's a vibes movie. It's just about the vibes.
I wish I had gone into it more with that mentality because we start off in like BC times and there's like an affair. The high priest Imhotep is like sleeping with the future bride of the pharaoh, which is like, you don't do that. And so then there's all this stuff that's happening. And basically Imhotep's people are mummified alive, which is horrifying. And then he himself is like cursed, and then he's like buried alive with the scarabs that will come back, and they're like eating him. It's so nasty. And so then we like jump forward in time to 1926, and that's when we meet Jonathan, and then Evelyn is the librarian, and then Rick O'Connell, who is like let's be real, this really gives Indiana Jones vibes, right? So like Rick O'Connell is Indiana Jones in this. And except he does the double guns, which I did think was really cool. And not that I'm a fan of guns. I'm not a fan of guns. But if we're going to have like someone who's like doing like pew, 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 like he's not even like looking and he's just shooting them off. And I was like, I mean, and he just whips them out of nowhere. He has like guns hidden everywhere on his body that he's constantly pulling out. No one can see me, but I'm doing a lot of gestures.
You're just so passionate about the mummy. I mean, so shocked.
Brendan Fraser was really good. Okay, Sarah, this is what I need to know. Did you find Brendan Fraser hot in this movie?
Yeah, of course I did. What's okay, not to find checking. Hot about him?
I'm just checking. I mean, he comes up, he has that very Han Solo-esque sort of like, totally. I'm a little bit of a bad boy. I'm going to be a little snarky to you, but you're going to like it. You know, like, that's the vibe.
Yeah. I mean, like, of course he's good. Look, he has a... he has Scott Foley lips upside.
Oh, I've not looked at Brendan Fraser lips. Hold on, let me look at them. Okay. Let me take a look at these.
Melissa, okay. You know how much we talk about Scott Foley's lips.
He's hotter in George of the Jungle, but I like his hair better in this.
Oh, I think he's hotter in this. George of the Jungle.
I can't with
like
George
of the Jungle. We're getting abs for days.
Stop talking about George of the Jungle. You're into abs? I am like unattracted to abs.
I mean, I'm not really into abs, but like his arms though, like I'm just saying. We need to watch George of the Jungle. Anyway.
No, I don't know. Why do we have to watch
It's very George funny. I also like that movie. Yeah.
Wait, Melissa, we need a whole month where we do George of the Jungle and what's the Jungle to Jungle? Do you remember that movie? The Disney movie, Jungle to Jungle? We'll just have a jungle double feature.
And then sorry, for some reason, I'll just throw in like Operation Dumbo Drop, just because that's the other movie I associate with that.
Sarah looks,
she says coming on.
Also, something I need to mention before we get too far down the plot rabbit hole is, of course, Sarah, I don't know if you knew this, Brendan Fraser, he's Canadian.
Oh, okay. Well, now I understand why Melissa chose the movie.
Yeah, she could have just said that at the top and we would have understood.
Such a loyalist. I try not to be such a stereotype all the time.
No, you're perfect. You're stunning. No, like, Brendan Fraser was great. He was a criminal. He got out. He almost got his head chopped off. That kind of sucked.
Yeah, that part I was like astonished by, that he gets basically like hanged. And I don't know. I don't know the intricacies of, you know, nooses and all of that. But I'm pretty sure that when they drop you, like, you die instantly from like a broken neck.
You either do or you don't. So that part is real. Oh, okay. Like, it is, you know,
it was a far drop though.
No, but so in filming this movie, he passed, like, he nearly died during this scene because of like cutting off oxygen, and like it was like pressing on his carotid artery and he had to like come back. It was like actually like a really scary thing filming the scene. Also, they had to put up with so they were filming this in the Sahara Desert. Most of the like Egyptian stuff was in Marrakesh, Morocco, because there was like political turmoil in Egypt. So they did Morocco, but it was like, they were dealing with sandstorms, snakes. There were like all of these stories of the cast having to like avoid certain snakes. And they were like, basically, if this snake bites you, you're a goner. So like, avoid that one in particular. But they were like,
you're getting treated for snake bite.
Yeah, it was like, really, they had to get like airlifted away if they were bitten or stung by scorpions. There were scorpions everywhere.
Tom Cruise didn't want to do it.
Yeah, there was like massive like issues with dehydration. They were like constantly getting treated for dehydration, and then they had to put kidnapping insurance on everybody as well. So it was just like the stories of filming this movie are nuts.
How much do we know how much Brendan Fraser got paid for this?
I don't know, but I don't know if it was enough.
Yeah, right. Did you almost die? It better be a lot of money. I mean, on the bright side, to your point, Melissa, and to Sarah's point about the ride right at Universal, he like, they made, it was very successful. Like, there were sequels. Like, it wasn't, you know, it was like, at least it maybe was worth it. When you look at the
and critics weren't a fan of this movie. They tended to refer to it as like a less good Indiana Jones. And it's just like 100% people loved it. It's recently coming back to theaters, which is why the revival of a lot of the bisexual memes is like, the bisexual agenda today is to go see The Mummy in theaters as it's coming back.
It's the 25th anniversary. Yeah. He got paid $4 million for the first film.
Okay.
And then for the second, he got 10. The third, he got paid 14.
I mean, if you were like, you're going to almost die, but we'll give you $4 million, I think I'd be like, okay. Like, I'm not dead. So $4 million, you know, sounds good.
Yeah.
And then let's guess how much Rachel Weisz got paid for the movie.
Oh, what? 500,000?
Yeah.
Well, a million.
Yeah.
Oh, no, for The Mummy Returns. Okay.
So she didn't get paid for the first one.
She did it pro bono.
My
admittance here is I don't know if I've seen the third Mummy movie, because I always thought the third one was The Scorpion King. And then I was like reading up on it, and there's three Mummy movies and two other like spin-offs, including The Scorpion King. So I might have a movie to go watch later.
The Mummy Tomb of the Dragon Emperor. That's the third one.
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, so like we get the team together. And the whole thing is that they find the brother finds this like key, and this map. And they basically, there's a lot of treasure. It's a treasure hunt. There's a lot of treasure. So we're going to have to go and get the treasure. But at the same point in time, there are like Americans who are also trying to get the treasure. So we're like fighting against the dirty, rotten, scoundrel Americans, which I did appreciate, especially the scene where we have the main three, and the two are ragging on America, and they're just like, oh, no offense, every 5 seconds to Brendan Fraser, and he's like, none taken, I guess. And so they find the Book of the Dead, and Evelyn, girl, I'm just gonna, okay, if we find a really, really, really old book, maybe we shouldn't read it aloud. Maybe we just should hold off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because this is what brings alive Omotep, right?
Yeah.
This is like this is what, and then we have like giant sand monster. And like, I don't know. I will say, Melissa, like, yes, this is a 99 film and some of the graphics are a little like cheesy, right? Like a little cheesy, but they weren't bad considering the time period, you know?
Yeah. Considering how bad they are in Scorpion King, they're like notoriously bad in Scorpion King. It's quite funny in retrospect that the mummy graphics are like not awful. Though whenever he does the jaw thing, I feel like that's the worst of it. Like whenever
he's
expelling locusts out of his mouth or whatever. That's always like a little bit iffy looking, but I think the rest of it is like done pretty well. A lot of it, I think at this point, was still done with like physical effects and makeup and stuff as much as they could. And I think that always tends to help whenever they're not relying overly on CGI for everything. But yeah,
certainly. Usually I know, like I listened to a podcast about the making of Jurassic Park and like the combination of physical like effects and CGI, when you combine the two, it tends to age much better than like solely relying on like one or the other. I totally agree.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And that was some of like the scariest stuff was like when it's like big sand monster mummy and Sarah, he's like consuming others to like regenerate his human form, which was so disturbing because like he's like getting more and more humanistic, but like it takes so many people that he has to consume. And like the process, like I guess a glow up, but like really it was a rough look for him for a long time.
I mean, the final result was definitely attainable or like successful rather. But I mean, this is a trope that we've seen before. Like doesn't in Hocus Pocus, like don't the witches like eat children to look hot?
They like suck the life force out of children. Yeah. That's like classic witch lore. But yeah, they like suck the life out of children to keep their youth.
So you gotta do what you gotta do. I mean, like some do Botox, some do suckies. It's fine.
Some do suckies. That's exactly
but
what
yeah, they call it. The moment where his like cheek is still open and then the scarab like crawls in and he chews it, that like lives in my
mind. I gasped because we had already seen the scarabs like obviously eat him when he originally got mummified. And then we saw when the one guy who comes along on the trip like picks one of the beetle artifacts off the wall and it turns into his, and we saw it like up his arm and then like into his brain. It was too much. And then I thought I was going to get my wish and the brother was going to die because all of a sudden a scarab is crawling up him. No, they got it out.
I don't understand why you hate him so much.
He was so annoying. Like, I just found
you are so annoying.
He was the third wheel. And I'm like, no, no, no. If you go away, we could just smush the two faces together to kiss. Like, go, kiss, do it.
More than I thought they did in this movie. So I also loved the scene where Rachel Weisz is drunk at the camp. She's like, what's a place like me doing in a girl like this? And she's talking about how she's proud to be a librarian. And then she tells him that she's going to kiss him. And then she falls asleep. It was very fun.
What a drunko.
I did love that.
So she's there because she's like a researcher, right? Like she is a librarian researcher. What is she trying to do? What is she trying to find? Because he's there for treasure, right? Like that was his first goal, his initial goal.
Yeah, I think she's trying to find this, like, so they're going to like the city of the dead, right? And so there's a lot, and it's like this place has been rumored about, but not been able to be found. And so I think that they're like going, Atlantis. Now they have this map. Yeah, I think kind of a similar vibe, to be honest. And they're looking for treasure, but also just like this Book of the Dead. They end up getting the book of gold too. I don't know. Again, the plot I will say makes more sense if you watch it again. Like you are able to like pick up on more of like, oh, this is why they did blah blah blah. But honestly, like I said, vibes movie. Just, you know, they're going on an adventure.
There's treasure, they're on a treasure hunt. Other people are also on a treasure hunt. There's a baddie who's a mummy, and basically, he's all pissed off because his girlfriend got killed. And so he wants to like revive her soul through Evelyn. He's going to use her to help bring back his dead girlfriend.
Well, maybe she should just do it.
Well, the thing is, she does like sacrifice herself, right? To save everyone else.
Yeah. If he just wants a girlfriend, then, you know, like just, you know, it's for love. I guess she just hates love.
Yeah, she doesn't want to die. She has love.
She has her own love.
Oh yes, because it's like a enemies to lovers situation. They're we'll never get along. I'm a librarian. You're an adventurer. I'm British and you're American. Like we can never go together. But then like they start crushing on each other.
Yes, and one of my favorite. It's like it's so ridiculous, but I love the scene where they're on the boat. And they set fire. The boat gets caught on fire. And she's forced to run around in like this white nightgown into the water. And I'm like, this poor woman, like it's going to be Nip City you're going to see right through that dress. Poor girl. Like all her bits are going to be hanging out.
Did you like her makeover? She got like a makeover at one point.
I mean, yeah. Like, the biggest problem I had, to be honest, was in the very start of the movie, the minute she took that hairbrush out that drawer, I was like, girl, I see that curly hair. Don't you do it. Don't you brush it. She brushed it. And guess what happened? Big old poof city. We've all been there. If you have curly hair, do not brush it. Okay? It's bad. It's going to be poofy. And so by the time I liked when she got it all wet, and her hair was very beautiful by the end because she let that shit down. She was very much in the like French twist kind of mentality, low bun, librarian chic in the beginning, and then she let that shit flow down, and I was like, yeah girl, let it down, let it flow out, loosen up.
She definitely got loose by the end.
Well, that's the thing though, that's why I think
sorry, I just meant that she like, you know, let herself like relax.
Oh my god.
Okay. But okay. This is
like, Melissa, I can see why this is like, why like the bisexual awakening thing, and also like this is like a very common trope where we have the dastardly guy who gets the uptight woman to loosen up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, I don't know. It's just a very fun dynamic. Brendan Fraser's so funny. I think that they each have their like comedy moments in this. And so they both just become really endearing. And yeah, I don't know. It was just like very much of a type. But yeah, I think one of the memes that I saw was basically like, why are so many more people bisexual now than they were before? And they're just like, again, it's like the photo of these days, like, because we saw this movie at a very formative age.
Yeah. And so the whole thing is like, because the Book of the Dead brought back Imhotep, now they have to find like the golden book or something in Hamunaptra. Is that the name of it? It's like Hamunaptra. The names are.
Yeah. So Hamunaptra is the city of the dead. That's where they're going. Yes. The gold book is the book of Ra, the god of sun. And his book is basically going to be like the counterbalance to this book of the dead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but it's all basically there's like a moment in the plot where they realize that their understanding of like where these books were supposed to be were swapped. And so that's why, like, when she's reading on that big tablet, she's like, okay, so if they said the book of gold was supposed to be here, it's actually going to be here. And that's when she's like, oh, it's under Horus. And they like managed to go find it.
Yeah. I will say, Sarah, the brother has like a fun moment when he's reading from, like, you know, she's mm-hmm. yelling at him to read from the book
to save the day.
Yeah, and he has to like get the army under his own control, basically. Yes,
yeah,
and he's such a fuck up. Like, he's just dropping the book. He's running around. Like, he's very cartoonish.
I mean, it's big pressure, to be honest with you. These mummies are followers and not leaders. Like, they just do whatever they are told.
They're mummies of like the priests and the mm-hmm. like the. So yeah, that's what they were in life too. They were like Imhotep's mm-hmm. priests, right?
So yeah, a bunch of followers.
Yeah.
So yeah.
What did you think of this, like all of the plagues of Egypt in this kind of like Prince of Egypt type tie-in?
Horrifying. I mean, the plagues always feel like this is like, I mean, tale as old as time, Sarah. We covered Prince of Egypt. Like, no one likes a plague. Always scary. They're always bad. Like, nothing good ever comes from.
What's your favorite plague, Jess?
I don't like any of them. I mean, the locusts are probably the worst one.
Mm-hmm. What other plagues were there?
Does it count that they killed the firstborn? Is that considered one of the plagues?
Sure. Name a third.
Why do I have to name all of them? I knew two.
Because my theory is that you don't know any of the plagues.
I said two of them. There's something with like water that I don't remember.
Uh-huh.
It turns to blood, right? We saw that in the movie. They're all like drinking from the cups. One of the guys, I think it's the brother, mentions his least favorite being the sores and boils as they're all like walking through.
Yeah, that one sucks.
Yeah.
They all seem terrible. I mean, like, there's no good plagues, you know? Yeah.
I did love that moment, though, when he's in there and they're, like, all coming, the brother, they're all coming at him. And then he just turns around and, like, pretends to be one of them. And he's like, Imhotep.
Yes! That was my favorite part. Yeah,
that was funny.
Yeah. So, Jess, like, the thing is that you're not a big fan of your brother. If they kill the firstborn, then you're an only child and you win. So maybe that should be your favorite plague.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's really
intense. I know. I'm just feeding into Jess's love of the plagues. Yeah, I mean, I did like it when the brother was pretending to be Imhotep. That was so funny.
Yeah.
I loved the treasure room. I'm like very big on treasure room.
Oh yeah, can we talk about Benny?
I was gonna say we haven't brought up Benny at all. Yeah,
Benny was not a character I expected to see after he like ran away, like he was a little bit of a coward, right? And he like runs away as soon as we meet him, and he keeps showing up. So he's supposed to be like the guy that's leading the American group to the treasure, but he like, I don't know, Melissa, it doesn't feel like he knows a ton. Like, he kind of knows things, but he also is not anywhere near as good as like Brendan Fraser is, you know?
Yeah. So in the, you know, that kind of the bit of the first flash forward that we get, right, it's Rick and Benny, and they're both in that area, right? And they get kind of chased away by the Magi, the protectors of the area. So they end up getting away, but they both now know where that location is. So now each of them has now been hired by these two different mm-hmm. groups to get them back there. But yeah, Benny is just like a bit more of a buffoon. And so he's not always as good at getting them there, but Benny is out for number one. He doesn't care about anybody else as long as Benny gets what Benny needs. And the scene with him with like all of the different religious symbols where he's just like, I have, it's just like classic where he's like, I don't care. I don't believe any of it, but like, which one of these will help me? Which God will keep me alive longer? Yeah. And then I thought it was like like it's an interesting tie-in where the mummy is like, oh, the language of the slaves, like he hears the Hebrew and he's like, okay, you're gonna help me, and like keeps him alive.
Mm-hmm. I did love the moment where they're all trying to like escape after, you know, the whole place is like crashing to the ground basically, and they're all having to run and get out again, very like Indiana Jones, like, oh my gosh, the walls are coming down. And Benny is the one who doesn't make it out because he's so greedy. He wants this like big pile of treasure and he's trying to drag it out. And it's like, Benny, you dumb dumb, you're gonna lose your life because you want all this. What are you gonna do with all the treasure when you're stuck inside and you don't have no food?
Hasn't he seen the Disney movie Aladdin?
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's got big Aladdin vibes. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't be greedy about the treasure. That's another one.
When you're talking about like the fascination with Egypt, like that time, you know what I mean? Like because of when Aladdin came. Because Aladdin was one of my favorites. Like I think Aladdin was probably one of the most played Disney movies in our household growing up. Classic. But one of my favorite
iconic moment.
Yes. No, go.
It's just the mummy screams at Brendan Fraser and he just screams back and it kills me every single time. Where it's just like, I don't know what he thought.
I can get loud too.
It's very much that vibe. It's very fun. But yeah, that was just like another one of my favorite moments of the whole thing. As I was like, yes, there's like certain beats of this movie that really stick out to me. And for some reason, that scream just always makes me laugh.
Mm-hmm. The unsung hero of this film is Captain Winston Havelock.
Get out of here.
He is. He's a pilot.
He died on the job. He has a death
wish. And he's like, come on, get in my plane. And they're like trying to outrun this like massive sandstorm that's happening. It's so cool. Like this was one of my favorite scenes just because it was like so interesting the way it was shot. And like the plane is trying to avoid the sandstorm and they end up crashing. And I was devastated, Melissa, when he died. I was like, come on. I mean, he had a death wish and like, I guess he got what he wanted, but like, he was so great.
He wanted to go out like his, you know, compatriots from the Great War. And basically he was like all bummed that he didn't go out with them. And so he ended up happy ending for him, I guess.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he was fun. But yeah, so like during all of this, they're fighting and his Imhotep's dead girlfriend, I cannot pronounce her name. They said it a few times and it is like,
it's like a hyphen moon or something like that. Yeah. It's very,
difficult. But she there's a big fight between her and Evelyn, but she gets killed. The fights are really fun. I will say like, because it's like an action adventure movie, like a lot of the sword fighting and the slaying and the gun shooting, like all of that is pretty fun and well done, I thought.
Yeah. And it was funny because so much of this, I feel like this walked such an interesting horror line because I don't think of this as a horror movie, but obviously like the scarabs are super gross. The like regenerating mummy is gross, but like any of the like stabbing scenes are all seen in shadow. There's lots of like, we don't actually see any of the like mummy sucking out the bits or anything like that. So I feel like it's very like horror light. Like there's certain moments that they play into, but there's so much that they like pan away from and just let us kind of like imagine what's going on, which
I don't think it's very like gory, but like I said earlier, the jump scares, it's a lot of like things jumping out at you and I'm very reactive to jump scares. So I was mostly scared of that. And then like just the thought of the scarabs going into my skin, I think that my life was better when I forgot that image in my head. And now it's going to take me another 10 years to forget it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, talk about awful deaths. Like there's at least like 3 truly horrible deaths in this movie. I do think maybe Benny's might be one of the worst because like he's trapped with all this gold.
Well, don't be selfish. That's a him problem.
Exactly. He sees one scarab and he's like, oh, but I got a torch and you're afraid of fire, blah, blah, blah. Right. But then all of them start swarming him. And Sarah, we talked about swarms and how much we hate swarms. This was a swarm that I've never seen before. And they're like, and then we know he's a goner. But like, I need to know, Melissa, your thoughts on, Imhotep has a weakness. And I found it to be pretty comical. I don't know if it was intended to be like funny, but he's afraid of cats.
Yeah, I thought it was great. And yeah, I thought so, you know, cats were like worshipped in ancient Egypt. And so I think whether it's that they were often like very tied to pharaohs, and that's like, it wasn't always clear to me why he hated cats, but he was, and that was fun. So yeah, when Brendan Fraser just like wields the cat and the cat hisses at him and he like gets all scared, this is great. It was fun.
It felt to me kind of vibes of like when you have zombie movies and like the dogs can tell that someone is a zombie or someone is infected, or you know what I mean? Like, what's the one, Sarah, what's the movie with Will Smith, and it's like I Am Legend or something. Mm-hmm. And he has a dog because they can sense it and they'll bark at them. And that way it like alerts you. I thought at first that's what the reason was, but Melissa's reasoning beyond like about the, you know, cats being worshipped makes more sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense. I think it's funny that you think that I would just know I Am Legend. My favorite film, I Am Legend.
Everyone has seen that movie.
I
saw it in theaters, I think.
I don't think I saw I Am Legend.
You shouldn't, because a spoiler alert. Yeah. Not anytime there's a dog in a movie, not great things for the dog.
Got it.
Yeah, don't.
I don't think it's a surprise for anyone that this movie is not something that I would or have frequented. Like, I just, you know, there is a brand of movie out there for me that is like Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion. That's a sour movie. I don't think Mummy was made for me. Like, I don't think that they're out there being like, we got to get Sarah on board for the Mummy or I Am Legend, you know?
Yeah, I would say the Mummy is certainly scarier than a movie that I would want
to. Scary.
It was very, what do you mean? It was really scary.
You know, I'm saying it's not about, the issue is not that it's scary.
Oh no, for me, that's the issue. Because I'm here for like an action adventure moment, you know?
I don't think I like action adventure. I think that's what it is. I don't think that that's my genre of choice in life.
I mean, I will say though, I also am not a huge Indiana Jones person. But that's probably because.
You not like Crystal Skulls?
Okay, no,
we don't talk about that one. but the rest of Indiana Jones is iconic.
I think it's because they feel old, whereas this movie doesn't feel that old. Like, you obviously, it's old. In the 90s. I do feel old. Thank you. I have lower back pain right now. I'm in my 30s and I have back pain, okay? But no, I will say, like, I liked this movie more than I thought I would. And I think a lot of that is because the cast, like, I thought that I really enjoyed both Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz. And so I think that was like their chemistry I thought was really good. Like, I, you know, even though I'm used to this trope of, again, like the dastardly guy and the, like the bookish nerdy girl needing to come out of her shell, right? Like, I'm used to these tropes. But yeah, the stuff I could have done without is certainly the bug stuff. But that's a me problem, not the movie's problem.
Melissa. Yeah, it's kind of a. It's a big like bit of the movie, unfortunately, but yeah, I too could have done without the bugs, but I understand why it's in there. It's certainly creepy. But yeah, my one thing, so he gets all, when Imhotep is getting all like mummified alive, and he gets all wrapped up with his hands close to his chest, and then they pour the scarabs in, and then they're like, there's fingernails on the inside. And I was like, dude was wrapped up. How did that even happen? So, plot.
Yeah, that doesn't make much sense.
Do we
know? That seems like a terrible way to die. Uh-huh. Like,
right?
Yeah. Do we know the significance in Egyptian culture of scarabs? Like, what did it mean for them by any chance?
Like, what do scarabs mean? Like, what do they stand for?
Well, I mean, like, if you look, like, there's still, like, there's a lot of symbolism within scarabs in Egyptian
art. It says
scarab
beetle came to represent the eternal cycle of life.
Oh, because they're kind of like cockroaches and they don't die.
They became a symbol of birth, life, death, and resurrection. Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense, especially when it comes to, like, mummies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Yeah, just the skittering. Blah, blah. No. Yeah. No. Again, I don't even, I think Sarah's right. I think it's like, anything in moderation is okay. Like one scarab is like fine.
Fine.
The minute there's like a 10,000 scarabs,
yeah,
I'm out. 10,000 of anything, saying, and I'm out.
Yeah, I've been saying swarms are my, this is like where the fear comes in. And
you
like,
you saw what happened in My Girl, Sarah.
My Girl?
He doesn't have his glasses.
The bees.
The bees. Should we cover My Girl one day?
Only if we want to sob uncontrollably on a podcast.
To be honest with you, like maybe that kid had it coming.
Not Kieran Culkin. What is wrong with you? Macaulay Culkin, not Kieran Culkin.
What? Yes, he was a dweeb.
Okay, oh. Side note though, about the eyes of it all. I don't understand why the mummy's like, do you know who I'm going to go after for new eyes? The nearsighted guy.
So yeah, that was dumb.
That was the other moment that I was like, this mummy needs glasses.
The mummy needs glasses. Wait, okay, so first he steals his, ew, his eyes.
Yeah, he gets eyes and tongue first so he can, and like,
the tongue was so disturbing.
He's like, I need more.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, please, no.
He's trying to get into a skincare regimen here.
Oh, God. Why couldn't he just take him all at once? Why did he have to take him piecemeal?
Because he got interrupted, I think. I can't remember.
Well, yeah, because when he sucked them all dry, they all looked like skeletons, but he didn't get to suck the eye guy dry.
Oh, this is what I wanted to go back to talk about. You know what was interesting? So, like, they, at the end, they, like, read the book, and they were like, why isn't Imhotep dying? And then Evelyn was like, he's mortal. And then they had to, like, stab him. How did he suck one too many humans? Like, how did he become
mortal? No, the reading of the book made him more mortal.
Which, yeah, so the golden curse book said that, like, he, this great darkness would arise and he would be controller of sand and all these things and he would be immortal. And then so by reading the book, they were able to reverse that curse so that he was no longer immortal. And then, of course, now that he's mortal, they have to actually kill him. So there was, like, that moment of them being like, okay, right, he's, you know, why isn't he dead? And you know, smart librarians like, no, he's just mortal now. Like now he's stabbing.
Do a little stabbies.
Yeah.
Okay, so they win. Hooray. Benny's gone. Boo-hoo. We see them like off on camels, and we see like a shiny bit in Brendan Fraser's bag. What did he steal? And this must be like a continuation in the second movie, because you don't steal from the crypt. That's on you, Brendan Fraser. You done fucked up. What did he steal?
Yeah, we saw what happened in Aladdin.
Was it a shield? Like, what was that?
I guess you have to watch the next movie to find out.
No, I don't. So am I right? Like, he stole something and then he's going to get in trouble? Okay. That was.
It's been so long since I've seen the second one. This is a Jurassic Park situation for me. Like, I've seen the first one so many times and I've seen the sequels, like, maybe once each. So I don't remember.
This is fair. But are they probably as garbage as the Jurassic Park sequels are?
Okay, so like, hold on. So
I don't remember. I think they're probably still good times.
Like, what would he steal? Like, what if you're in the treasure room? What do you go for? Do you go for the gold? Do you go for the jewels? Do you go for the encrusted swords?
And you go for shields? Like pure gold in terms of like getting your money's worth, unless you're like Evelyn and you really want like something of historical value, or if you're Brendan Fraser and you're like, I'm gonna do something so romantic, I'm gonna get a piece of jewelry, and that way when I want to propose to Evelyn, I could be like, look, I stole this from a tomb, girl. Wait, now you gotta marry me.
No, that was a sizable thing that he stole. Like, it looked in my mind to be like a shield or some sort of sword.
Okay. I didn't notice it. I don't know.
What did he steal?
Okay, what's this character's name? Rick O'Connell. What did Brendan Fraser steal?
I never remember the names of the characters in this movie, like, until I start watching it again, because it doesn't matter. They are Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz, and that's all that matters.
Seriously.
I Googled this, and one of the first things that shows up is an article from sci-fi.com from 2022. Brendan Fraser's The Mummy character is tough, not toxic.
Oh, okay. He's so tough. But what did he steal?
I'm looking. I don't see.
Or
it's not helping.
Was it like a golden scarab that like climbed into his bag? I saw something.
So I don't think it comes up because the in The Mummy Returns, it's that like Rick and Evelyn are out searching a ruins with their spoiler alert son.
Who plays the son? Then,
I don't know.
Okay, it's not
some kid.
Okay.
But then it's like something from that ruin that ends up
bringing it back. All right. So then nothing comes of it, and they sell it and then they become billionaires. Good for you. This just proves that stealing is okay.
I think it, you know, funds their like future tomb stealing exploits.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So then we have to talk about the kiss. The kiss was great.
It was a good kiss.
It was a great kiss. It was so romantic. And they had good kiss chemistry. And I thought that it was a well-deserved kiss at the end.
I did love the moment too. I can't remember when it happens in the movie. It might be on the boat. She goes back to her room and she's like, it wasn't that good of a kiss. Like, because he kisses her without consent. Not okay, Brendan Fraser or Rick O'Connell. But she's like, it wasn't that good of a kiss. And we're all like, girl, if you're going to tell yourself, you're protesting a little too much. It was a good kiss. Come on. He has soft, pillowy lips, just like Scott Foley. Mm-hmm. He's a good kisser.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you notice lip size when you're looking?
Not at all.
No.
No?
No.
It's just a me thing. I thought it was also funny when the brother was like, I'm gonna look away, and he's like, hi camel, do you want to do a kissy kiss? Because he has
the camels nobody. Were so fun. Like the camel race. I didn't know camels were that fast.
Have you ever ridden a camel?
They're super fast.
No, I've never ridden a camel.
Oh. Yeah. Sad for you.
I mean,
yeah, I love the moment where they're getting made fun of for riding camels, and they're like, basically, like, no, this is what you want in the desert.
I mean, it makes sense that like a camel would be fast on sand, but I don't know. I feel like whenever I've seen videos of camels like around, they're not running; they're just chilling.
They're bopping.
So I never pictured a camel sprinting. You know,
they look fast. I've ridden a camel before.
A camel can maintain around 25 miles per hour. So I think horses are faster short term, but camels can be faster for like a long distance.
Okay.
Here's my photographic evidence that I'm not fucking with you and that I actually have ridden a camel. I will
if need be, they can run 40, between 40 and 65 kilometers an hour, which is, you know, something in
Now, I did not like that she didn't get her own camel. She had to ride like bitch with Brendan Fraser. That was not cool. But
maybe that was
better. Wow. Well, you're riding bitch too. You don't get your own camel either.
Maybe that's why I'm mad about it. Yeah. Yeah,
where are the humps?
I think we're sitting in between the humps. I don't know.
It looks like you're sitting on a saddle.
I don't know I don't remember, Jess.
Oh, I'm just saying.
I don't remember. They're real camels. I swear to goodness.
I believe that's a real camel.
Maybe we're sitting on the humps. I don't know.
Did you know that the humps are for water storage so that they can like go?
Yeah, I did know that.
Okay, then maybe they were just thirsty. So
cool.
Yeah, they need to. I just like the picture. It's like a squirrel when they hoard food for winter, their cheeks get big. A camel's humps just grow up.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's how it works. In my mind, that's exactly how it works.
Yeah, this was me. I went to Israel. So.
Oh my gosh, incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall I would say like I thought this was a fun movie. Like I like the action adventure. I feel like it's been a minute since I've watched like this much of an action-y adventure movie, but certainly could have like the horror aspects were more of a struggle for me, specifically the scarabs. Like never again. Like just the idea of something crawling underneath my flesh just disturbs me in such a way, even with the bad CGI. Even with that, I was like, no, thank you, ma'am. Sarah, final thoughts on The Mummy?
I think The Mummy is like something that everybody should watch once, and that is kind of where like I land. Like I feel is that like I don't think it's like a bad movie by any means. I just don't think that it's like my type of movie that I enjoy. Like, but I think that like everybody should see it. Like I'm like a big proponent of like in the world of pop culture, like every like it's something that we like to check it off your pop culture passport is it should be one of the things that you do.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Melissa, any final thoughts on The Mummy? Are you happy you picked this movie? Does it stand the test of time like you thought?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does. I think it's still really fun. I, you know, it's one of those things where every few years, if I watch The Mummy, it's a good time. Especially it's fun to watch with other people who like remember it from growing up as well and have like certain moments of it. I will admit, it's a bit longer than I remembered. It's a two-hour movie.
Yeah, it is long. So it's a long movie.
It's a bit long. But otherwise, yeah, I think it holds. I think it, you know, other than the very important parts of it that we talked about that don't hold up well, it in terms of entertainment value, it holds up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, this was super fun. Melissa, thank you so much for coming on to talk about The Mummy. Also, we didn't even announce at the top of the podcast, which we probably should have done, Sarah, but this month we were like, you know what we need to do is, because Whirlwind launched last month, we want Whirlwind Podcasts, a separate podcast network. We wanted to have on some people from the network to talk about it. So Melissa, you are one of the people involved in Whirlwind Podcasts.
Yeah, that's it's a fun theme for the month. But yeah, I was happy to come on, and yeah, we're doing fun stuff over there.
Sarah,
yes.
Anything else you want to talk about what you're involved with over on Whirlwind Podcast?
Yeah, we have recorded two full seasons of Previously on Shameless.
Good God, you've pre-recorded that much?
We are golden until June,
baby. Yeah, for the record, I think they're up to what, like episode 6 or so has been released of season 1?
Well, yeah, it's only 12 episodes
per season. Oh, okay. So I forgot it was that
short. Yeah, it's not like a 22 season arc, but yeah, so we have pre-recorded. It's really fun. A lot of fun. It's really fun watching like Todd and Adam react to stuff. Like I don't even watch the Previously Ons when we watch it all together. I just watch their faces for their reactions. And it's really fun being in the know. And of course I love Previously On Pretty Little Liars, or Previous Little Liars as we like to call it, because that's fun for a totally different reason. But we have so much going on. Like we have that Inside the TARDIS and Whirlwind Investigations with Melissa and Adam. And then of course we have Tune In with Todd and Tommy. And it's just so much stuff. So you know, get caught up. And we're going to have Lindy on, who is involved in One Indescribable Podcast and Previous Little Liars, later in the month, to talk about Drive Me Crazy with Melissa Joan Hart. And
good pick.
A very different vibe.
Yeah.
Very and different that, vibe. Yeah.
That
yeah.
brunette guy with the curly hair. I don't know.
Yeah. Who Adrian something. I'm looking him up so that we can
have Cody. I had a
no, Adrian Brody is a different actor.
Who is he?
Adrian Grenier.
That's not a person.
If it's French.
He disappeared after the 90s. I don't think he exists anymore.
Yeah.
So what was the show? What was the show, the big one that he was in?
OC?
No. Okay.
Whatever. So yeah, we tried to watch this movie like 2 years ago and we couldn't find it online.
Entourage.
Oh,
no.
That's the one. God, I don't watch The Entourage.
You shouldn't. Okay. It does not hold up well.
And we couldn't find it at the time. And we, thankfully to the Plex gods, we have access to Drive Me Crazy now.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited. This was one of those movies. I don't know why, but I feel like it was always on ABC Family. And anytime it was on, I watched it because I absolutely adored it. I had like the biggest crush on Adrian Grenier or whatever the hell. Chase Hammond. That's how I know him. And I just I loved his curly hair. I loved this movie. I cannot wait to talk about this film. So
I don't know if I've seen it.
Whoa. You what?
I don't know. Like,
you are in for a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more your type of movie, Sarah.
Yeah.
Sarah, it's very, okay, give me a second here. I'm pulling out my Taylor Swift knowledge. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it's
no.
It's very, there's too many songs happening in my head right now. Yeah. What's the song about her being like the girl next door? He
you
wears
belong with me.
Yes. That, it's very, you belong with me. Very, you belong with me.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. He is.
They're like neighbors, literal right? neighbors. And like childhood friends. And yeah.
Oh,
well, let me give you like, I'll give you like the little headline. It's like they're childhood friends, mm-hmm. they're neighbors. They grow apart because she becomes popular and he's like, talk about like
she
freaks and geeks.
Popular?
She becomes popular and he's a freak and he hangs out with the freaks.
Wow.
And then it's like about them coming back together for reasons.
Oh, so it's like, oh God. 13 going on 30.
Sure, but
except for the whole thing. Yeah.
Also, I was thinking today there was like this whole discussion happening in the Post Show Recaps Discord about like ages and like what that your generation would be called and all of that. And mm-hmm. I was thinking to myself, anybody who was born in like the early 90s or like even the late 80s probably, I feel like has called themselves like 30, flirty and thriving because of 13 going on 30. Like, I feel like everyone has said that or like thought it like, oh,
well,
I'm
yeah, because we were know. Like 13.
Absolutely not.
15.
Well, this is like, I'm not 30, flirty and thriving. Thank you.
No,
well, I
mean, I am,
see what
you
you're
know.
Saying because we were like 13, 14, 15 when yeah. we came out and we're 30, 31, 32 when it turned 15 years later. But,
exactly. Yeah.
Melissa, you're not feeling 30, flirty and thriving.
No, I don't think I've ever felt flirty and thriving.
I mean, fair. Are any of us really thriving now? Probably not, because the world is a mess. But
I feel like I'm like a hop skipping away from thriving. If that
okay, you're close. You're close
if
to
that,
thriving.
That crippling depression doesn't creep in.
Maybe I'll be thriving by the end of 2024. You know.
Maybe one,
one can only hope.
One can hope that'll happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, but that's The Mummy. This was a really fun time. Melissa, it's always a joy to get to chat with you and check out everything she has going on. Watch Doctor Who. Trust me, I never saw Doctor Who until their podcast and I'm enjoying it. Like we're in the zone now, I feel like. We're in the good zone.
We're in really good Doctor Who right now.
The Doctor is great. The Companion is great. Companions are great. Like we're in a good spot right now. So definitely hop on board. I would say like, I guess you could start with season 6, but I feel like season 5 is where people should start if they want to start like without going all the way back.
Yeah. Season 5 is where I started. And so I think that I highly recommend that. There's probably, if you want to message me, I can give you the viewing order that I started with. I've talked about it on the pod, but I basically like flashed back to 3 episodes that were like important for the story in series 5. Mm-hmm. And so it was helpful just to be like, okay, you need to know what these things are. And then you can just keep watching from 5. So message me if you want to know my recommended viewing order of how I watched it. But yeah, this is the best. You absolutely could just start with series 6, but all of our old episodes are all available in the Whirlwind Pod feed. So you can scroll back and start listening in whenever you want to. But yeah, I highly recommend jumping in. It's so good. It's not even like it's not a big like sci-fi.
It's like, not very heavy. No, it's not dense in the way that some sci-fi shows are. I would agree with that.
Yeah, like Adam isn't a huge sci-fi guy and he enjoys the show. And I think that there's it's a lot of fun. It's a very good story. It is my favorite love stories ever told are on this show. And Adam has accused me of hating love so many times. And I'm like, no, I don't hate love.
Oh, where have I heard that before? I wonder who also gets accused of hating love all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe you both just hate love. Have you thought about that?
Have you thought about that? Not everyone is just like a hopeless romantic and like, you know, appreciates love, but doesn't necessarily need it in their face all the time.
I love love. And it's not my fault that you hate my love.
No one hates your love. We're very supportive of your love.
Jeff hates my love.
The two love stories that for me have basically ruined all other love stories are the two in series 5 and 6. So I highly recommend checking them out.
Have I ever told you how much my mother compliments your podcasting?
And oh, really? Doesn't know.
She's a big Melissa fan.
This is so funny.
She's like, oh, yeah, that Melissa. She's such a good podcaster. And I'm just like sitting over here.
Does
like,
your mom secretly love Doctor Who?
Yeah, her and Miranda watch Doctor Who and they listen to the podcast. Aww, yeah,
that's so cute. Yeah.
She likes that's you crazy. On Lessons in Chemistry as well. No, she liked that. Yeah, she's you get the approval that I've been searching for 35 years. So,
oh, I'm sorry.
Sarah. I kid.
Be nice to Sarah.
Incredible. Here on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, you can hear us talking about Buffy, talking about Felicity. We just wrapped up season one for both of those shows. So check out those podcasts. And then as Sarah said, Drive Me Crazy coming later this month. Meanwhile, I'm over on Talking Shit, talking about Schitt's Creek with my friend Stuart. We're having a ton of fun. It's a great Canadian show. And this is honestly just Melissa month because Melissa's going to be joining us very soon over there. Yeah, so.
To correct the record. Anyway, it's fine. We'll save it for the pod, but I have feelings.
She has Canadian feelings and she's going to express them, which is totally fair and valid because we're an American and a Brit talking about a very Canadian show. So, you know, it's fine. I'll be okay. I'll make it.
You know what? I have not been invited on to talk about Talking Shit.
Have you seen Schitt's Creek?
Of course I have, you dumb hoe.
I'm supposed to just know every film and show.
Wait, did you go seen. To the did you get past the Rose's Gardens garden? Rose's
No, Rose's that's garden. Like way later into the show.
No, it's not. That's the first season.
I don't think it's the first
yes,
season.
Yes, it is. It is.
Is it? Okay. Well, no, we haven't gotten there yet. 1,000%.
That was my favorite bit.
I'll look up that bit and maybe you can come on for that specific episode.
I just want to come on for that one line.
Just that. That's the only time you're, yeah, just for 5 minutes and then we'll kick you off the podcast.
Yeah, I'll do that. Rose's garden is so funny. Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's it. We had so much fun. Thank you, Melissa, for coming on. We'll see you probably for Thanks Buffy, so much. Right? You're coming back for Buffy?
Yeah.
Season 2?
Yeah. I got to get caught up. I'm behind on my Buffy watch, but yeah, I'll be there.
Awesome. Well, that's everything. So until next time, have a good one, everybody. Bye.
Just ask. Shit 90 Shows Taught Me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.